Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week in League, unwanted Rabideau James Roberts looks for a new home at Parramatta after discovering he does fewer drugs than their current centre.
Yeary of Cleary prophecy fulfilled as Ivan wins Coach of the Year.
The Dally M set to be renamed the David Ends as criteria for winning is apparently to be the best performer in a garbage team.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for the 2020 NRL Grand Final.
All that more this week in League. Welcome to episode 373 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
What's happening, man?
Mate, what a week.
You should be having like one of the greatest weeks of your life.
Yes, I am.
I don't feel like you are, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like you're too focused on your hashtag to really enjoy what's going on.
Oh, enjoy, man.
I mean, admittedly, look, I mean, I will concede there's a lot of enjoyment that has been sucked out of the week due to the fact that, you know, you can't fucking go down. Well, you can, but, you know, it's extremely costly and in time and money to do so.
I said this to you before. I have had COVID relatively easy compared to a great swath of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues that I have are annoyances, not
ultimate
actual
first
cuntings.
World problem.
You know, so yeah, Penrith make the grand final and it's the year that I can't go to Sydney.
Yep.
So, little things like that.
Yep.
But man, I'm loving every minute of this. The team has more than lived up to not only expectations, but...
Well, I mean, exceeded them by far.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, the fact that everyone in that team seems to be there for the team. You know, you've got a lot of other clubs at the moment with talk of people coming off contract and wanting to go to this, and their cunt agents are leaking that, oh, there's other clubs are circling.
Yeah.
Other clubs are circling.
To be fair, though, I think that sort of talk happens after the game's finished as well. Like, I mean, like, as far as distraction-free lead-ups to game, like, you'd be crazy to try and pull that shit, you know, like, before the game.
Well, tell that to Jerome Hughes.
Well, I mean, he's manager anyway.
Exactly that.
Yeah. You know? But having said that, I don't think there's even anything to the Jerome Hughes thing either. It's just you know. And I guess, you know, maybe it's a COVID thing, but there's just doesn't seem to be as much, I don't know, fanfare or like, like the festivities around it are just very, very much diluted, I think, this year. Obviously, they can't do a lot of, you know, they probably can't do like the breakfast and
they can't.
All that sort of thing. But,
player appearances are reduced, obviously.
Yep.
You know, there's not as much interaction.
Yep.
They can't have people in the same place at the same time.
Which, to be honest, for the actual teams competing, and it's fucking literally the best case scenario.
Yeah, program. That's it.
Like, zero distraction week is great.
Yeah, spot on. I'm enjoying being a part of the community, the small community of great Panthers fans.
Yeah.
Majority of which whom reside in our Facebook group.
Yeah. How many, just as a related question to that though, how many fans of, this is a question for every single listener. How many fans of a team, doesn't matter who you go for, who hand on their heart can say that they love their fucking fan base?
Yeah, no one.
No one.
Yeah.
No, I fucking hate Manly fans.
But here's
the exception of about fucking four or five people.
Yeah. It also,
and even the ones
comes
I like,
down.
I mean, on social media though, they drive me fucking crazy with the shit they carry on with.
But there's also that common denominator of it's things like refs faulting beyond the
Well,
thing
I mean,
of...
your team actually invented as a concept, I believe. I don't think anyone was unhappy with a referee's performance.
Oh yeah.
Before your mate.
What's the line from the world's worst Batman franchise?
Oh,
you were only raised in Ref's Fulton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was conceived
yeah.
by
mold,
a ref.
Molded it, you know.
My mother was raped by Bernard Sutton. I am Ref's fault.
Yeah.
Does that explain that guy?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really want to get into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just one for the real ones. Just saying. Ref's faulting originated.
Fuck yeah.
In the Penrith, at the foot of the Blue Mountains.
Yes, it did.
Then that's an indisputable fact.
Mm.
But yeah. Look, let's start talking about the news. The Dally M's took place earlier in the week, and it wasn't exactly a thrilling Dally M count, given what transpired before the ceremony went to air.
Yep.
But Jack Whiten has won the 2020 Dally M medal, narrowly defeating Clint Gutherson and Nathan Cleary, and he polled 26 votes, one ahead of Gutherson, two ahead of Cleary, and becoming the first Raiders player to win the Dally M medal since Laurie Daly in 1995. A great year, a great couple of years for Jack Whiten, to be honest. One of the exclusive club of, you know, Clive Churchill winners in a losing side in the grand final last year.
Yep.
Dally M this year, he's fucking killing it. And the leaderboard of the notables was Whiten on 26, Gutherson on 25, Cleary 24, Cameron Smith 22, Keary and Johnson on 18, Reynolds and Luai on 17, and Kalen Ponga 16. Other awards, as you've mentioned at the top of the show, Ivan Cleary, Coach of the Year. Tuivasa Sheck, Captain of the Year. I can deal with that.
Fucking oath I can.
Rookie of the Year, Harry Grant. I think that's almost indisputable as well.
Who else was in that?
Oh, fuck, you would have had some, wouldn't you?
Oh.
Wouldn't they thrown up like a Crichton or a fucking... Yeah. You know,
okay.
I guess. Surely.
But yeah. Again, you know,
yeah.
The only shining light on an absolute fucking garbage side.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
The Ali Brigginshaw with the Women's Player of the Year. Peter Frilingos headline moment of the year was Project Apollo. Fair enough, I suppose.
Mm.
The Spirit of the Game Award, Proven Summon Spirit of the Game Award to the New Zealand Warriors. Another great choice, I think.
Yes.
Katoni Staggs with the Try of the Year. Versus the Dragons in round 15. I thought Katoni Staggs' try of the year was his attempt to get a fucking heart on banging that fucking bleach blonde fucking cyber terrorist. I mean, she was like a fat chick five. Not even.
I called her an egong. It's like an internet dugong. The egong. That's not a throw on Egon Spengler, God rest his soul.
Yeah, at first I was like, oh, what is she got, like, you know, covered in like protoplasm or something? Well, she was after fucking Katoni gave her fucking 10 seconds of his best work. And tackle of the year, Josh Papali's ankle tap on Jamal Fogarty against the Titans in round 15, which I thought was a pretty... It's really hard with the tackle of the year thing. It was a year that was almost completely devoid of, like, you know, massive hits. Like, the sort of shit that Tafu, you know, you'd expect. He didn't really do any of that this year. And so, yeah, look, I'm happy to give it to the big man. Never giving up. And tracking down a small guy who he had absolutely no fucking business catching up to, let alone stopping. Now... I was mentioning that the Dally M Awards, the result wasn't exactly a surprise because the Daily Telegraph published the results hours before the official announcement, and this was pushed out. They pushed it out on their website, and which also pushed out onto, you know, the social media accounts of, like, you know, Buzz Rothfield, for example. And at first I was like, I guess it could be legit. Wonder if I can go put a bet on. No, it's all suspended. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, they're characterizing it as a production error and an accident, and they're very sorry and blah, 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 blah. And Whiten said that the players were unaware of the leak because halfway through the proceedings, they came through and took all the players' phones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't say. Okay.
So, which explains why they were sort of, you know, why they looked surprised, like genuinely surprised when it all went down. Now the fucking Dally M's, everyone complains every year about the result. And you know what? It is never, ever going to be solved in the current format. I mean, at the moment, the Dally M's are 3-2-1 based on each match. And under that system, it's impossible to truly come to an agreement as to who the best player of the year was.
Correct.
I mean, you get sides like the Panthers. I mean, Cleary had a good year. Fucking mm-hmm. Luai had an understated great year.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Luai finished, what, fucking about fifth or sixth or something? But, I mean, he had 17 points, of which a certain percentage of those would have been cannibalized off Cleary.
That's it.
You know, which would have prevented him from you know, getting the ultimate.
And again, Luai didn't play the full year.
Yeah.
Burton was in that position for
a good chunk
at the beginning.
Yeah.
But
it's the same thing, like, you know, if DC and Turbo are playing at the same time, total cannibalization of points, which is astonishing that Cameron Smith won last year and polled very high again this year, because he's in he has been in a similar situation, probably less so the last couple of years. But, you know, for those guys, like, for, you know, when it's Slater versus Kronk versus fucking Smith for a Dally M.
Yeah.
Game in, game out.
Correct.
Those guys are cannibalizing points off each other.
Whereas at the moment, he's in that fortuitous position where he's the last big name left.
Yeah.
And so every Storm win, his involvement is probably a little overstated.
Mm.
When this year, and this was a surprise to me, but in those matches where they didn't have him, I remember in the previews, we went in and went, well, you know, it's Melbourne and no Cameron Smith, so that means they're going to be well below where they need to be.
Yep.
The machine rolled on, probably better than it ever has without a member of the big three there.
Admittedly, they do have the greatest fucking hooker depth probably in the history of rugby league
at
the moment. I mean, you know, assuming that even though Harry Grant wasn't there, I mean, he was on their books. You know, like, that's, I mean, there's three legitimate starting hookers in the one club, which is fucking crazy. That's the first issue with the Dally M's, of course. The second issue is you've got the Gronks that are actually assigning the 3-2-1s. And, you know, with the whole last year, was it? With the whole Ruin Sims business. Didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
So how often is that happening? How qualified are the people assessing it?
Yeah.
And now there's a talk of rectifying the issue with the 3-2-1 and the cannibalization of points is by grading all the players in a game on a score of 1-10. Great in theory, but who is assigning the points? Same, if it's the same people as the 3-2-1 people, I still don't trust that shit. Mm. And it seems to me that the people who are assigning the votes do appear to be very, like, very guided and influenced by outside narratives, as is the case of the final round, where Gutherson got 0 points, I think, and he only needed one to tie or two to win.
Yeah.
He got 0 points with a fucking, like, was it like four tries? Yeah. Or something, like fucking something stupid. Whiten got sim-binned and fucking, and did two-fifths of fuck all.
Yeah.
And got, I think he got 3 points for that game. Like, just fucking crazy.
Exactly.
So, look,
it's also how shit happens where people like Nofaluma are in contention. And again, I'm dead serious. I'm not running at him out of irony or because I got some fucking Pasco thing here.
Yeah.
The cunt cannot defend.
Yep.
The cunt cannot be part of a proper defensive structure and keep it for 80 minutes.
Yep.
Can score tries, which
as Darius Boyd's origin records
builds a career out of. Yeah. That's it.
Anyone can.
And so when the Tigers are having a struggle year, when they've got chops and changes everywhere on the field, the guy who just happens to be at the end of the simplest
and get dropped at any point.
Well, what's the first play you're taught when you start getting taught plays? It's a cutout pass where you cut out the center.
Yep.
That is the first play that you run when you're probably in under sevens.
Yep.
You know?
When you start that, when you stop like running forward in a huddle.
Yeah. Or get the ball, run backwards 10 metres and around everyone.
Around everyone else, That's legitimately the first play you learn.
Technically, it's a wraparound. Wrap yourself around.
Yeah.
And
like every kid's mobbing like the play of the ball because every kid wants to be the one to pick up the ball from dummy half and do that run.
The other thing is, the fucking biases involved here are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Obviously, Like, you got people like Greg Alexander,
mm-hmm.
who are voting on it.
Yep.
He sits on the fucking board at Penrith.
Yeah.
Now, the sport is always going to be as such in its current guise that you are going to have people that play those dual roles, that have roles within a club somewhere,
yep.
and then also have a presence in the media.
Or even if they don't have a no. role at the club, I mean, like, let's say, I mean, what, you know, they used to play for a club and they're yeah. still fucking, like, could you imagine, like, Fatty Vorton assigning Dally M points on a fucking Manly game?
Yeah.
I mean, or a fucking State of Origin game, yeah. like, you know, sort yeah, of like, that's you know, it. You just, yeah. like, there are people that wear their shit, they're not hiding it.
No, not at all.
At
and,
all. But,
and this is the thing, I'm not saying it's a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
I'd much prefer it that it goes to, you know, the people that decide the Dally M's,
mm-hmm.
the coaches,
yep,
and the, you know, who do you want to say the captain of each club? No.
No, fuck that. You know what? The thing I want is I want every game to be watched like a match review committee situation. Yep. By the same people every week.
Yeah.
So every player has been judged on the same internal merit.
And I don't want what is an official NRL record that goes into the fucking history books controlled by the fucking Daily Telegraph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially, that's all
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
It is the Daily Telegraph journos choosing a narrative that suits them.
Yep.
Those are the people that get it.
Yep.
No?
Yeah. So, but like ideally, all you need to do is fix it. I mean, like, I'm happy to go to the 10-point must system. Fucking do it 5. I don't care. But don't make it a 5-4-3-2-1. Make it every player's rated out of 5.
Every player's rated out of 5.
Can be multiple fives. Can be yep. on both sides of the field.
Yep.
Have it judged by a consistent panel that is exactly the same for every game, every week. So
you know what you also see then?
Yeah.
Is wonderful things like Isaiah Yeo being in contention
yeah.
for Dally M.
Yep.
Because the motherfucker would have gotten 4s yep. every single fucking game.
Yep.
Every single game. Well,
maybe 3s. I think Luai is fucking, you know,
yeah,
Luai, they're sharing the 4s most of the time, right? Occasional
you
5s.
You can have multiple 4s.
Oh, well, yes, fair enough too, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah, but then there's a cry. Okay, so then it's like, I guess you know, the next thing is like, what's a 4? What like 5 has to be like, you know, man of the match-ish performance, right? And then... And you yep. know, and but you know, the thing is, there's only one man of the match award. But you know, you could, yeah. you know, there are times when you're like, "Fuck, I don't know who it was." They're 5s. Mm. You got them, okay? They're 2-5, yeah, 4, yeah. But look, as long as they fucking decide what they, you know, as long as the committee have their criteria, they decide on it and they stick to it for yeah. every single game, every single week. At least you're going to get some sort of semblance.
That's it.
Of consistency in the result at the yeah. end, and they might not get the exact right result, but I mean, you're certainly not going to see these public situations
like
where...
What was it last year? Luke Brooks was halfback of the year.
Yeah. Like, in what fucking universe?
There was nothing that egregious this year.
Yeah. Except for that last round thing was such fucking... I mean, that's when it really blows up, when you can objectively look at two games and two players, one gets maximum points, one gets 0 points, and their performances are... Maybe neither of them deserved the 3, but they correct. Certainly... didn't deserve to be the way they, you know, the way they panned out.
But looking at it, and I'm just going back to the actual Dally M's. Oh, there you go. Sam Burgess is still a cunt, allegedly. If you were building a team and you could recruit anyone you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going, oh, where are we? Where are we? We're close. Okay. So, you know, if you were building a team,
yep.
is Gutho your fullback over Teddy?
Fuck no. Not in any fucking universe ever.
That's it. Is Noffa your winger over anyone else in the comp?
Absolutely not.
No. Look, Katoni Staggs, because you're just picking centres here, it's not that Origin yeah, thing where you can okay. throw anyone in.
Yeah.
You know, Staggs and Crichton.
Yeah, I mean, Staggs has got a touch of the Noffers in defence as well. About
yeah,
it, you know
certainly
I mean?
Does. But again, there's that.
But you could do worse than Staggs and
like he
and
had some scintillating solo tries.
Yeah.
And so that's the hype that got him the points. Fair enough. Josh Adokar, well deserved.
Yep.
Well deserved. Was Jack White a better number six than Cody Walker?
Yes. Look,
or Cameron Munster.
Yeah. Honestly, that's a
or Jerome Luai.
You'd be happy with any of them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
but
I've got no problem with him being first because I mean I feel like that was probably a close thing.
And I'm biased because I fucking love the way Jack White plays the game.
Yeah.
Like he's that big fucking get out of my way.
Yeah.
I'll do it all myself. Number six.
Yeah.
Nathan Cleary, obviously. Papali's fine. Cameron Smith, you know, serviceable. Fisher Harris was there. You know, Kikau was there. Tohu Harris and Isaiah Yeo. So.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I'm looking at it, nothing wrong with the Dally M's. It's mainly Panthers, so keep the current format. No, but I do agree that there were guys in there and forwards elsewhere within the league.
Yep.
Like, because you look at that couch.
Yep.
And it's all the flashy, you know, sidestepping, which are great. And they're on the highlight reels and they're the ones that little kids want to be, you know.
Yep.
No one runs straight at their mate and goes, Papali! Like it's just not happening. In short, fuck the Daily Telegraph and their involvement in anything to do with rugby league in an official capacity.
And fuck the Daily M's until they sort their shit, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, it's not easy to be better, but it's possible to be better. Mm. So let's strive to be better.
Yeah.
Jack Bird, his mooted move to St. George Illawarra has hit a roadblock. After amateur hour fucking Brisbane, and it was probably Lockyer doing it personally, failed to issue the Dragons with a revised offer. So the Dragons walked away from negotiations because the Broncos neglected to issue the club with a counter offer after rejecting the deal that was on the table. So Anthony Griffin was very keen on getting Bird.
Broncos are apparently very keen on getting rid of Bird.
Yeah. So this is a match made in heaven. Like, I mean, this is a fucking good match.
As you say in negotiations like this all the time, the good thing is we don't seem to be starting worlds apart.
Exactly. and then let's factor Jack Bird into it. He wants to go back there, you know. He wants to go back there. He's telling his friends, you know, looks like I'm going to be back to the Dragons. The Broncos need the cap. They need the cap space. He's on $975,000. So the Dragons offered up a figure which is believed to be around $675,000. So they're footing all by $300,000. The Broncos laughed at them, allegedly.
Are they picking him up as a lock? Is that what I read?
Fucked if I know. I don't know what they want to do with him.
$675,000 is not a disrespectful offer for someone that hasn't played football in 2 years.
No. And coming off an ACL, played 17 games in 3 years. I think that's a fair offer. And you know what? That's an offer that Jack Bird would be delighted to accept.
Correct.
Problem is he's on $975,000 at the Broncos. And so they basically laughed at the offer and never sent back a revised offer, offer. So it looks like they're going to be stuck with him. He doesn't want to be there. They don't want him there. Dragons want him.
And can't get him.
Because once again, Broncos at the top. Can't business good.
Yeah.
Fucking hopeless.
That's just a legit collapse.
Yeah.
Of not only business etiquette, but protocol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that, if they laughed at the initial offer, right then, just a cunt side not to be done, you know, not to conduct business.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, they would be perfectly in their rights to say, look, we were hoping to get, you know, more of that freight off our books.
Yes.
So can you bring it up? What about 775?
And here's the thing.
Well, it's St. George,
St. George aren't going in and going, this is us. This is us maximum.
This is our final offer. 675. Take it or leave it. Yep.
You know, St. George are in the position of strength.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that say, look, we would like to have him, yes. However, based on his market value at the moment, we're not going to offer you lots because you've overpaid for him.
Yeah.
We like him as a footballer. We believe this is his value. Now, if they'd have gone in and said, hey, we'll give you $450,000.
Yeah.
Yes, laugh
Fair
at
enough.
That.
Yep.
Fucking laugh at that.
Yep.
But I think even that, that's close to overs for a guy who's, you know, very sadly proven to be a little bit biscuity.
Like and like massive, like and like the worst kind too. Like something happens in the preseason, never takes a field.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
That year.
Yeah.
You know. And it's even like when did he fuck himself last year? Like, was it Magic Round? Was it that game?
Was it?
Was it around? I think it was. He was starting to come good around then, I think. And yeah, fucked himself then. Boom.
Yep.
Never returns again.
Gone.
So, look, I think 675 is very fucking fair. I mean, and the Broncos clearly not thinking what they could do with that 675. They're more thinking about what they can't do with 300 on there. But, you know. And just as a tangentially related story, you notice that all the talk about Fox, it's like, you know, Dogs, you know, maybe Souths.
Yep.
No Tigers in there at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of their, you know, because of their fucking ridiculous, you know, assertion that retaining Noffa was more important than attaining Fox.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Finally, the final news story here, which is it's kind of puzzling to me. The Eels are reportedly considering luring former player Bevan French back to the club to play fullback.
Huh?
With Clint Gutherson set to shift to centre.
Oh, God.
The Eels are in secret talks and closing in on a deal to bring the previously unwanted French flyer back to Parramatta for 2021. So this is... Okay, so we knew we were talking about the top of the show when we were talking about Jet to the Eels. So this is to basically move into the left centre position in replacement of Michael Jennings.
Mm.
And... well, for starters, why would you move positions for Gutherson? I mean, he's not my first choice fullback in a world where fucking, you know, like Teddies and Turbos and whatnot exist. Of course not. But he's not a fucking total piece of shit either.
Yeah, no, not at all.
And the thing is, was Bevan French like this amazing player the Eels were fucking gutted to lose? When did that happen? When was he at the top fucking 10 fullbacks?
Yeah. Yeah, at all.
When does he come back into a club and displace the captain who's had, by and large, a great season?
Yeah.
Am I misremembering Bevan French's career?
It's not like, well, you know, Gutho is a centre and he's going to get pushed out to the wing or...
No.
Or he's going to move into the second row.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Yeah.
But why would you have, who is the person who's by far your best player on the field at any given time, and say, we would like you to touch the ball less.
Yeah.
We would like your involvement
to
be lower.
We're gonna move you to the lowest involvement position on the field in the 2020 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bullshit, and I would love to hear what Eels fans think about it, because I don't remember Bevan French being any good.
And again, you know, as you just alluded to, you have Josh Adokar, who is a winger.
Yep.
And again, by our admissions, not a fullback.
Yep.
Wouldn't he be better as fullback than Bevan French?
Yeah.
And actively looking, you've got to be able to fit him into your cap, admittedly.
Yep.
But.
Yeah.
Jesus, Parramatta.
Eels fans, explain this.
Fuck.
Please.
Yeah. What are we missing?
Okay, recaps from the weekend's action, and we kicked off with the Melbourne Storm 30 defeating the Canberra Raiders 10 at Suncorp Stadium. The Storm tries to Jesse Bromwich, Ryan Pappenhausen, Sulassi Vunivalu, Olam Finucane, Smith 4 or 5 conversions and a penalty. The Raiders 2 tries to Kotrick and 1 conversion from 2 attempts to Jared Croker.
What a start.
Potentially the most dominant opening to a finals game in like the last X many years.
Yep.
Unbelievable. What was it about? Was it the first 10 minutes they got those 3 tries in?
Yeah.
And absolutely destroyed the Raiders, blew them off the park. It was over at that point. Well and truly over. They went up again. I mean, the Raiders got themselves some consolation before the half to make it look a little bit more possible. And while the second half had large passages of Canberra dominating and just pressing the general flow of the action, I honestly think the Storm just fucking like, okay, we're in.
Yeah.
Now let's just not concede any points or concede as few points as we can.
Yes.
But at the same time, let's not fucking bust any hamstrings.
Let's not
before next week.
Let's not 2015 Broncos this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah, let's not.
The game, the match is won. Yeah. With the likes of Hughes and Smith controlling things, I think we can reasonably protect an 18-point lead, and they ultimately did extend that lead.
Yeah. Very often we talk about gears,
referring
to teams as they come into the last part of the year and into the finals.
Yeah.
And the Melbourne Storm have forever been one of those teams that have another gear.
Yeah.
That just go, they can just click and just go up a little bit. And I feel like that was the case in this game where Melbourne went, oh, okay, prelim final.
Yeah.
Click. And they went into that prelim final gear. And Canberra was still just in... scrappy finals mode.
Yep.
And just were in no way prepared for what they did. The difference has been that Melbourne make you fucking pay for mistakes. You cannot make them.
Yeah.
Or you cannot make them to the extent that Canberra did, where Canberra did.
Yep.
On the other side of things, Melbourne don't give you a lot. And what you take for yourself and make for yourself in the way of opportunities, you need to convert.
Yes.
And there were numerous times where Canberra just weren't switched on enough.
Yep.
And it was an extra pass or an extra two passes. And they would have scored. Like, there were a couple of times that they had on their right-hand side. Melbourne absolutely fucking shot.
Yep.
Shot. But just greedy cunts wanted to hold the fucking ball and not pass it off.
And also, to be fair to the Storm, when you've got Fox and Pappenhausen sweeping in cover...
Yep.
Large overlaps can evaporate very, very fucking quickly as
that's
well.
That's it.
You know?
And so if you're not playing,
so you really need
them
to
properly,
be executing. Yeah,
yeah. That's it there.
But it's like it's hard to say much more about it. I mean, I feel that the second half obviously was a points drought compared to the first half. But I really feel like Melbourne Storm were like, okay, we're going to defend the fuck out of this.
Yeah.
And we're just not going to bust our asses until we have to because we're in now. And now we just have to basically close it out.
But then again, opposed to that, for Canberra, you end up with things like Hudson Young kicking on the last.
Yeah.
You're in a qualifying final
to
get into the fucking grand final.
Yeah.
And your fifth tackle options go to shit against the Melbourne Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not putting yourself in any position to succeed.
Yeah. Let me go to the tweets or Facebooks, I should say. Well, I'll tell you the other thing. Sully's little fake out.
Yeah. Hey, and another thing about him. This is like his swan song year from rugby league.
Mm.
But I feel like, some of the low-life grub shit, I feel like he's kind of on his best behavior now to finish things on a nice note. And it seems like the mistakes and shit, like in the penalties, like that. Oh, that's he sort of rubbed that out over the course of this year. There was a time there where he was almost something what you would characterize as a fucking liability.
Yeah, no,
but
you're
this
not
year,
wrong.
Attacking wise, it's back. Very sound. Defensively and under the high ball and things like that. It doesn't often make a mistake.
Yep,
well, he's actually doing a great job.
He's also, I think, calmed down.
Yeah,
a little bit, and I don't know what that has to do with this being his last year.
No, yeah, maybe.
Is this last year or is it next year?
I think this is last year.
Oh, it's going to be sad. But yeah, you're right. He seems to have stopped a little. I could see what he was trying to do.
It's also a great thing for the Storm as well because there's one or two penalties a game that they're simply not conceding now.
Yeah, exactly. Nort said, good to see Kotrick playing like a bulldog already. Sam the Warden said, I'd be very pissed off if I was a Raiders right winger. Fuck me dead. If the ball got to him on two or three occasions, they'd likely have scored. Fucking exactly. Super Grover said, thank fuck for the lawnmower 3.0 because I would have started a bushfire. Simon said, did anyone notice the Storms laying down a couple of times trying to milk hip drop like tackles? Big Nelson's foot didn't even get stuck underneath himself. Then he stayed down for 3 minutes, no penalty, so played the ball and sprinted downfield chasing the kick.
Yeah, look, yeah. Yes, I agree with everything you said, except at the same time, I'm like, if I were in the Storm club and all the focus had been on, oh, this is some newly illegal tactic that my team is using or whatever.
Yep.
If something ever fucking happened to me that even closely approximated it,
yeah,
of course, that's what they fucking get.
Well, it's exactly the same now. Yep. If you're in a tackle and you feel pressure on the back of your head.
Yeah, you hold the back of your neck and try and get them to look at it for a crusher.
At which time we, you know, bring out the trademarked shunter phrase that it's a good thing that the referee performed first aid with a whistle.
Yep, yep.
And allowed the mobility again.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm a big fan of just of like gamesmanship and things like that. And
So am I. To me, that crosses a line, though.
Yeah, it's.
And I'd prefer, right, that if a player stays down,
yeah.
And this was a suggestion. Fuck, I think it was Giannis or someone raised last week.
Sub him off with no, doesn't count as a sub, as a, oh, sorry, it does count as an interchange. Or...
Well, if it's a crusher, because that's, you know, dealing with your spine, you must go off and be assessed.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe that you have had an injury to your neck, that's spine.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Cost you an interchange, but fuck off. Unless a penalty is given, in which case you can have a free interchange just like an HIA because it's a penalty.
Yeah.
But if somebody is down, and they're holding their ankle.
Yep.
You've got the fucking camera, the eye in the sky. They review it.
Yep.
Was it a fucking hip drop? Yes. No. They just tell the referee.
Yeah.
And the referee blows a penalty or not.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's what they're kind of doing though.
With the trip. Now they stop the game.
Yeah.
So you must get up. You must leave the field, and you're out of play for the next set because you have to re-enter the field.
Yeah.
Later on. Just stop the fucking faking soccer shit. Ben said, what can you say? Melbourne were fucking unbelievable in that opening 25, and that was it. Raiders left chasing too many points. Fuck 2020. Sam said, fuck this shit. Fuck you, Croker. You can score as many points as you want in reserve grade, you weak cunt. Who the fuck hired that cunt? And it's quite obvious Kotrick has his eyes on those rapist bulldog cunts. Fuck this shit. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag fuck this. Sam, some fucking sensational posting.
I love the fucking passion, sir.
That's it.
All right, I'm just filling up my water. I thought there'd be more commentary on it. All right.
Look, here's the thing. By the very nature now, and I do love this, because they're game threads that get posted while the game's on, the majority of comments are about the game, not about the results of the game.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So makes sense. Okay. So moving on to the other game, the Panthers 20 defeat the Rabbitohs 16 at the ANZ Stadium. The Panthers 20 tries to Tyrone May, Dylan Edwards, Cleary with three conversions and a penalty goal. The Rabbits 16 tries to AJ, Dane Gagai and Corey Allen, Reynolds 2 of 3 conversions. And this one was, you have to say, fairly, you know, not lucky, but this one could have gone either way. Panthers didn't do themselves any favors.
Not at
all. Their handling was fucking atrocious.
Yes, it was.
For almost the entire game, well, certainly, you know, in the first half.
To go in to a preliminary final and complete at 71%.
Yeah.
When it's been a hallmark of your football all year.
Yeah, high completion.
Yeah, and it's been, a lot of people have had this, I guess, as a criticism of Penrith, but I've been okay with it, that they spent a lot of time in attack and didn't get points to show for it all the time, or it took them a lot of sets or a lot of tackles in the opposition's 20 to get their points.
That's all shit they're soaking up, though.
And exactly.
Like all shit you're not soaking up.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what they lacked in this game, and it was their own handling errors and silly mistakes that did it to them.
Yep. And you remember they were playing a Rabbitohs side that was fairly down on troops as well. I mean, and I don't really necessarily count Luttrell as that. I mean, obviously he's a great player, but
yeah, he's been out for a little while. If you've gone for more than a month,
but to have Campbell Graham, like literally have to change their centres,
yeah,
is like at this late stage, especially when they're so reliant in attack,
yeah,
on the big backline sweeps.
Yep,
it's amazing. It's amazing that they did so well. And I mean, they were the better side for large swathes of this game as well. A little bit of controversy with the when I say controversy, I mean controversy on the Facebook group talking about that fucking 40-20 thing. First thing, Reynolds, absolute fucking champion. What an idea, and what a fucking kick.
Yeah,
like low, uncatchable, untouchable, yep. Unplayable 40-20 kick.
Yep.
He took a little bit of a stutter step and unluckily, you know, touched the line. Why the fuck is there any debate?
Yeah.
His foot touched the line, end of. It was an amazing kick. It would have been a fucking brilliant moment for that 40-20. And you know, it could have been a match-winning moment for the Rabbitohs. Yeah. I get all that. It's fucking great. And you want to see drama and you want to see shit. Great.
Yeah.
But we don't fucking call back tries when a guy fucking steps on the sideline, unless it's a fucking 2010 grand final, of course. But like, apart from that one time, we don't, I mean, just, you know, like we didn't award that fucking try. Who was that try? Was it the one with, was it Rapina last week?
When he jumped from outside the field of play to, yeah.
You know, would have been one of the tries of the season, but we don't award it because we fucking wish it, you know, wish yeah. because of what we wished it was. And then just hearing this talk about the potential, like the thickness of the, like the, you got the line and the red,
fucking, you know what? For that to matter.
Yeah. Who fucking cares
about that?
Well,
for that to fucking matter, Reynolds would have to practice his 40-20 kicks by knowing exactly how many paces it took him to get from the in goal.
That's exactly what I said on Facebook. I said,
and he would have to go 40 meters exactly.
Yeah.
He'd need fucking laser sights there.
Yep.
And he would need to do it on that field. And train for that. Well, you know what actually fucking happens? They train for it with a line in front of them. And they train for it by not stepping on the fucking line. And in a game situation, shit happens. It's a game of fucking millimeters. He stepped on the fucking line.
You got guys fucking charging at you, that are going to hit you, put you down. Yeah.
There's when you reach out to score a try, how many times has the bunker said, and places the ball on the line? Mm-hmm. That's a try.
Yeah.
It's not... We've actually reviewed it, and the ground's been fucked up, and there's three blades of grass that had paint on them. So technically, that's not part of the in-goal area.
Yep.
So it's on the line, but it's not a try.
Yeah. That's almost verbatim what I said on Facebook. I said, like, so Adam Reynolds would have to know for a fact that he has a gate of 1 meter.
Yeah.
And he started on the try line and had to run exactly 40 paces.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, that line's a little bit fatter than usual, so that's why half his foot ended up over it.
That's it.
Fuck's sake. I mean, like, there are legitimate things to complain about.
Gus Gould quit his position at Penrith to take up a job as a groundskeeper.
And knowing that they'd be running that way and he'd try that tactic in that minute of the fucking... shut up.
As negatives for Penrith, fuck, they butchered some tries. There were a couple, and especially down that right side.
Yep.
Some interesting offensive choices. I get that you don't have kick out there.
Yep.
But how the fuck does Stephen Crichton become your decoy runner?
Yeah.
One of the most damaging, prolific try scorers.
I guess because he becomes the most dangerous person in that position on the field when in attack because kick out's not there.
Do you remember
he's a beneficiary because kick out's
the one. Do you remember the payoff Jonathan Thurston had? For cutting out Cooper, and then just going to him short.
Yeah.
Like all fucking game. Yeah. All game. Yeah. Just cut him out, and then just short.
Yeah. Over. Yeah.
How's that not your fucking go-to play in that situation where you don't have kick out?
Yep.
But you've got Capewell, who is a serviceable runner.
Yeah.
Fucking that cunt tried to do my fucking head in. Hold the ball. Fuck. Jesus fucking Christ. Like, ugh, I know where you've come from. I'm starting to think you're a plant as well. Fucking sharks. And then things like, you know, Mansour misjudging a pass back on the inside and throwing it forward. There were some ordinary things there. The positive, was that when they defended, they'd obviously studied Souths.
Yes.
They had a plan to nullify Souths.
And they certainly maintained it all through the first half and for most of the game.
Well, yeah.
They were there. I mean, like they did end up getting two tries down there, but they're both at the result of spectacular individual skills. And fuck me, Origin Gaggle, I turned up into a club match. Didn't I can't believe it.
How good. But they effectively got rid of Cook's threat.
Yep.
By just getting up and in his face.
Yep.
And the markers were pretty good most of the night. And it was as simple as, I've been touting all year, the scariest thing to me about Walker was how he pops up just out of fucking nowhere.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you set up to defend a play, and then, fuck, there's another guy. Oh, shit, it's Walker. Oh, fuck, we're in trouble.
Yep.
But their MO just seemed to be someone had their eye on him, and wherever he was, they stacked.
Yep. And more like the best thing they did in defense is they were awake to the attack down the left.
Yeah.
And they just cut it off.
Yeah.
Like before it could develop every time. Or most times.
That's it.
Enough times.
Again, going into a grand final, 13 errors, 27 missed tackles. That will lose you a grand final.
Yeah.
So needs to be tightened up. But again, hey, you can't really complain when one of your worst performances all year gets you into a grand final. Mm. Everyone in that team's a future immortal. The next team,
Kurt Capel too.
Oh, well, he's holding a position. But when the next team of the century is announced, it'll just be this team. Where are the tweets? I can't wait. Darren said, don't support Penrith, but I think the whole NRL community can thank them. For at least 1 week, we don't have to hear about how Cook was a beach sprint champion. Bethany said, Souths have been punching above their weight so hard this year. It's a testament to Bennett's coaching ability that they even made it to this game, let alone kept it that close. Yes, that's very true. Hamish said, it's right about now that a fishnet stocking wearing Pasco, who is furiously wanking himself off, saying, fuck you, Ivan. Sharky Dave, my most favourite 44, said, Souths need a plan B to crack Penrith. Cook isn't getting any lazy markers to get out and make meters, and Walker isn't getting space to work in. Panthers aren't playing well, but are defending everything Souths throw at them so far. Yes. Ian said, I fucking love how Cleary kicks into space rather than the robotic pre-programmed nonsense that the defending teams are drilled for. Shades of Thurston. That is 100% accurate as well.
Shades of Thurston.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Look, heaps of comments on moments within the game.
Yep. True. Okay, previews. Well, preview one game, really. The take it all, the 2020 NRL Grand Final. Panthers play the Storm at ANZ Stadium on Sunday evening. The referee, Jared Sutton.
Ugh.
Fucking ridiculous. When you've got a game like this, it's the last game of the year, so all of your fucking staff are on deck.
Yes.
So why can't you have a good referee in the middle.
Yep.
And legitimate referees running the sidelines and a legitimate referee in the fucking box.
Yep.
Because we don't have any of the above. But not, I mean, look, I can understand nepotism is fucking the way it works these days. Of course, Jared Sutton, maybe Ashley Klein, but Jared Sutton, of course, the favorite to take the slot. I get it. He's fucking useless, but I get it. I get why it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But why wouldn't you have one of your better referees in the video referee box or on the line.
Yeah.
Why? I don't fucking get it. Anyway, Kikau returns. Capewell goes to the bench. Mitch Kenny's out and Kikau, of course, back in the 11. The Storm, no changes. Finucane retains his bench spot after a successful return last week.
What a bench player.
And Brenko Lee looks like he's got nothing to worry about there with the high tackle charge.
Yep.
Brenko Lee, how's his fucking defense?
Mm.
I got, like, Brenko Lee and Jerome Hughes, two players, absolutely fucking born and molded in a scrap heap of the Gold Coast fucking Titans.
Yes.
Not born, but, you know, spent their time there.
That's it.
Literally fucking careers ended.
Yeah.
By that shit organization playing a grand final, but also fucking like owning their positions.
Like deserving to play in a grand final. Yeah. And here's the thing again. It's almost as if going to the Melbourne Storm is a fantastic short-term decision.
Yep.
But once they get you there, your only realistic career option is to stay there.
Hmm.
You know, you have these odd people like Josh Adokar,
yeah,
who is probably only being considered. Now, if he wanted to get out of Melbourne and say, I want to get out of Melbourne and I want to go somewhere in Sydney,
yeah,
and I'll be a winger because I'm a fucking winger.
Yep.
I'm a representative winger,
yep,
and I will go and play wing, yep, for another club because my motivation is to get out of Melbourne.
Yep.
Need to get back to Sydney for family reasons.
Yep.
I'd cop that.
Yep.
But Josh Adokar saying he wants to leave for family reasons. Oh, I also want to be a fullback and get paid $400,000 a year more.
Yeah.
That's the outlier here.
Yeah.
But as we've gone over so many fucking times, who's left Melbourne and done well?
Some, but not many.
Inglis, but that's Inglis.
Yep.
Who else?
Matt Orford. Dally M Premiership 2 years after.
Yeah.
Did Israel Folau, he was successful.
Matt Orford had one good season with Manly, which you could say was far more to do with that team and that coach rather than him.
He didn't have
a stellar career after that.
Yeah, but he was also fairly late in the career when he left too. It wasn't like he wasn't a rookie.
Adam Blair, I remember the stage where Adam Blair was the automatic selection for the All-Stars.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's sort of had his ups and downs, hasn't he? I mean, then he was fucking garbage at the Tigers, like,
yep,
absolute garbage. And then he had his moments at the Broncos.
He was a hot mess at the Broncos.
He was loose unit at the Broncos, and he had his moments for the Warriors to bring it home at the
end. Would he be the first pick in a rep team?
No. Tohu Harris has gone great since he left the Storm. He's been the same player, I think.
Yep.
I mean, obviously in a team that's not nearly as successful, but I think his personal performance has been great. But yeah, it's not like the automatic thing that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's look back at the history of the sides. The most recent encounters are generally, well, it's probably easier to say that the Storm have only lost to the Panthers 3 times in the last 15 years.
Correct.
But
looking at the last 5, Penrith got it 21-14 last game.
Yep.
Before that, the Storm had them 32-2.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, the Panthers were 22-16.
Yep.
Before that, the Storm were 28-6.
And before that, 24-6.
So the most recents are far more even.
Yeah.
Looking at the long history, it's just the fortunes of both clubs. Melbourne have been a far more consistent premiership team.
Yep. But let's look back to the previous meeting. It was 21-14 win to the Panthers. This was in about round 6 this year, I think.
Yep.
Wasn't a lot from either team in this one. Panthers scored the go-ahead try with about 20 minutes to go, and from there on it was somewhat of a grind. Storm didn't have Jerome Hughes for that game, and Brandon Smith was named at prop for that game, which when you look back on it now is fucking hilarious. And the Storm were like, they weren't even in the middle; they were at the start of the period where we were like, wow, I would have thought they'd be one of the teams to adapt to the new regime of the six again and whatnot.
Yeah, that's it.
Easier than most, but holy wow. Wow, I am stunned and surprised that they are not adapting at all.
Yeah.
And so it was really, I'm not going to say it was Storm at their worst, but it was definitely a Storm side that does not resemble.
The Storm had improved more from that point.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Yep. So it's yeah. Why will Penrith win this game?
For Penrith to win this game, they need to pull out a close to flawless performance. You know, like they have a couple of times this year, so they have it in them. And it's their handling.
Mm-hmm.
It's their handling and it's their patience. They need to get into this game, set the tempo at faster than Melbourne, because, you know, you saw what Melbourne did last week.
Yeah.
They came out and it was a fucking blitzkrieg.
Yeah.
They need to say, okay, we'll see your fucking blitzkrieg and raise you a Nagasaki. They need to come out and really set the tone. They need to set it with their defense. And they need to make the Storm fight for everything they get. Because one thing the Melbourne Storm don't seem great at is changing plans on the fly when they're in an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, but at the same time, they don't often need to. I mean, they're also very happy just going to their shell and patiently wait until they've turned the game around the way they want it to be.
I think maybe Storm teams of the past. I think this Storm team has a little bit more frustration in them. You know,
maybe.
Look, Jerome Hughes is not going to Cooper Cronk them out of trouble. Cooper Cronk was that guy who was, okay, that's fine. We'll absorb. And I'll just keep putting the ball straight in the corner.
Yep.
And we'll just chip away at you. We'll chip. Jerome Hughes, I don't think he's that guy. You know, there's obviously still Cameron Smith.
You still got Cameron Munster and Cameron Smith and even Pappy who can do,
That sort of stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, like you saw earlier in the year, if they really get in and stop Melbourne's go forward, I think it frustrates those guys enough. They need to play one of those games where they're patient with possession and put pressure on them. It's something that's dropped out of their game for the last little while, mainly due to their handling.
Yeah.
But they haven't been just content to camp. To just be like, okay, we'll be down here. We'll be down here 3 sets, 4 sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might score a try. We might not. 3 sets, 4 sets. But then 5 minutes later, another raid. Yep. And we'll just camp down here. 3 sets, 4 sets.
Yeah.
And play the game at their pace.
And they really need, I think they really actually, you know, rather than camping, they actually need to get payoff.
Mm.
From all their chances, because I don't think they're going to get, you know, a hell of a lot of chances.
Correct.
To be honest. And
they also need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
You know, and really focus. You know, you can't afford things like dropping the ball over the try line.
Yeah.
Silly plays where you push a pass and the ball goes to ground and you lose possession. Really take advantage.
Yep.
The Melbourne Storm have the advantage that the majority of that team's been there before.
Yep.
They know what the day's about.
Even the younger ones are, you know, still relatively experienced in that front.
That's it. And they just need to go out there and do what they did to the Raiders if they are to win the game. That's how they win.
Yeah.
They want to go out, they want to force the Panthers into errors and put lots of pressure on them and have them chasing the whole game. Where I feel that the young heads chasing points would be exactly where Melbourne want them to be.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. And that's the thing about the Storm. I mean, like if they get off to a bad start, that doesn't matter. I mean, that's happened in the finals and they've come back and won.
Yep.
You know, big. You know, huge.
Yeah,
huge win. I mean, it was over. You know, they might have been in a massive hole 30 minutes in. But by 60 minutes in, it was over.
That's it.
The other way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're so dangerous. Just in the fact that they're so well coached, they're so experienced, and they're timed to this game.
Mm.
Like their tapering and everything is timed to this game. They expect to get to grand finals. They expect to win grand finals.
Yeah.
And this is just a fucking regular day at the office. I think the lack of ceremony around the grand final week due to COVID. Is I think it helps Penrith with what one of their bigger problems would have been,
yes,
which is just all this shit just getting to the kids' heads.
Yep,
and so they can kind of shut a lot of that out. But you know, when they're standing there under the bright lights,
mm-hmm.
and things start going against them, and Storm just start turning the vice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when we'll see, you know, just how, yeah, especially some of these guys that have been more suspect, like, you know, like Nate and, you know, like a great attacking weapon.
Yeah.
But he can be found out.
That's
and, and if that happens, you know, I mean, especially when he's dealing with, you know, Addo Carr and fucking, and Pappy, you know, on repeat, you know, for the entire game.
Yep.
It's an interesting matchup. Melbourne have had a much easier run in the finals because they've been getting better and better each game. The Panthers are having a great season where they didn't play any good teams for quite a while. They came through and they scraped in against the Roosters. They've had another tough one here. They narrowly got through against the Rabbits. They've had a much more difficult course through the finals.
Yeah, spot on.
It's just good to have a grand final that appears to be like, you know, anyone's game, and it's like a great, you can make great arguments for both sides, which is not always the fucking case.
No, not at all.
You know, like, you know, like for example, like, you know, like that the 2017 one was just like fucking foregone conclusion. Yeah. You know?
Spot on.
Clive Churchill medal.
It'll be given to Cameron Smith.
The betting as of this afternoon when I had a look, Cameron Smith's $4 now.
Yeah.
Cleary 450, Pappy 9, Munster 11, Appy 15, Jerome Hughes 17, Kickout 21, and Luai 23. Now, I'm not a fucking degenerate, so I'm not going to get sucked into this nonsense. However, Luai at 23 seems to be very good fucking value. Because, I mean, I know that there's, you know, the Clive Churchill is often played out on narrative. And so I guess the narrative will be that if the Panthers win, they'll give it to Cleary. If the Storm win, they'll give it to Cameron Smith. And if the Storm lose and Cameron Smith plays great, they'll give it to Cameron Smith anyway. So it's no surprise why they're $4 and $4.50 and, you know, the favourites by far. But, I think Kickout 21 is fucking throwing your money in the bin, though.
Correct. And
I mean, he might storm onto a try and do some loose shit, but he's not going to be the best player on the fucking field.
Not at all. And I think you and I talking about Luai as a potential makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we watch games.
I mean, I'm going to come out with the hot take. I don't think the fucking Nathan Cleary's game has improved very much at all in 2020. I think it's guys like To'o and fucking Luai and Isaiah Yeo, like it's those guys that have, as a whole, pushed everything up.
I think Cleary's game has improved astronomically in terms of...
I think it's just because he's some of the lesser lights in the team, they've improved astronomically, which has brought his level up, but not to the same level, like not the same level of growth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
I think Luai is fucking like so criminally fucking... Like
underrated.
You carry on about like the Isaiah Yeo shit, and he had a good step the other day. But honestly, Jerome Luai is fucking so, like he if Cleary's the most responsible for fucking Penrith's success this year, it's like 50% to 45%. Like I just feel like he's getting so little credit.
See, what you're doing there is being a Daily Telegraph reporter.
I'm actually not because I don't work for the Daily Telegraph, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, then you're worse. You're a wannabe Daily Telegraph reporter.
I can assure you, I do not want to be a Daily Telegraph reporter.
No, I said
that's
how you're behaving. I didn't say that's what you want, but that's what you're doing. You might not want it, you know?
Okay, if they want to pay me not work.
I might not want to get a boner in a strip club. It's happening. But Luai gets a lot of praise because everything he does is flashy. Everything he does is flashy, and the majority of the things you remember that he does are close to the try line. It's that youthful exuberance and speed and steps and little passes or raids down the short side. Whereas there's been a number of games where it's been Cleary's boot that in a Kronk-like fashion really got them out of trouble when they were in a territory battle. And so those are those things. It's almost like, you know, the unsung prop forward. It's those things that Cleary does that have improved. And they're little things, and they've only improved marginally. Yeah, but that's a massive contributing factor
like,
to the season.
I don't feel like that's ever really been a problem with his game, though.
Yeah, it has been.
He's the problem with his game is like actual attack. And this year he's learned how to, his kicks are more sort of accurate.
You're just talking about attacking kicks.
Yeah, I never considered his positional kicking to be like any of the issue of his game. Like I never considered his defense to ever be an issue with his game.
I know. And look, I'll give this to you because I know who you've got at seven at Manly. So anyone else must seem magnificent. But I'll cast your mind back to last year when all he would do was put up those fucking stupid midfield bombs that only went 20 meters and the opposition team was forever starting their sets on their fucking 40.
Yeah, but they were more attacking kicks than that, though. They were just fucking... But he just...
I know, but like,
He doesn't do the bomb anymore. That's the thing. Now it's more... Now it's invariably a grubber.
Yeah. Which is an improvement.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm like kicking for grass from your own end and everything. I never found that to be a problem for him.
Again, was never... There was the odd one that came off, but it was never as strong as it was this year. There's been improvement, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it was terrible. Yeah. There's definitely...
Then back to originally what I was saying before you started getting all Buzz Rothfield in your head.
And putting
words into my mouth. I said that his improvement is not as large as the likes of Luai.
No, you said his contribution to the team's success was not as large, not his improvement.
No, I said that I said Luai's contribution to the success of the team was underrated.
Yeah.
And I said...
And you said it was 55 to 45.
50 to 45. Yeah, because I'm fucking, someone happy can have five. Someone like that. You know. Okay. And what I'm saying is that Cleary's improvement.
Okay. But I'm saying you've been
not as high.
You've been hypnotized by Luai's hypnotic
magnetism. Can I say that nothing at Penrith has hypnotized me because I have absolute resistance
from you've the never shield, played aqua shield. Golf on mushrooms then.
Well, that has nothing to do with fucking Penrith.
That has everything to do with Penrith.
That's an entire other fucking other hobby.
That's in Penrith.
Well, I've never fucking set foot into fucking Penrith.
Exactly. That's what I just
and I never fucking will. So I don't give a fuck if you're talking about fucking aqua golf on mushrooms or you're talking about fucking cable ski or whatever
the Dally Cherry Evans
bullshit, whatever the fuck
you're
doing.
The Dally Cherry Evans of sledges against Penrith.
I fucking already had my fun with Penrith sledging them from fucking round two when the whole TikTok thing came out.
That was phenomenal.
It was?
Yes.
Thank you.
No, the TikTok thing.
Yeah, well, it cost him a medallion, didn't it?
No, they didn't dock him points.
He didn't win any points for the two games he was suspended, though. Could have used them.
Mm, that's true.
Cost him a medallion, motherfucker.
Mm.
See? You got to listen. Now, you're going to say the Panthers are going to win 13+.
No, 1 of 12.
What's
and it'll
final
be a Cleary field goal.
Oh, so they literally
19-12. Nah, 19-12. Yep.
Yeah. I think it's going to be, if Penrith win, it's going to be very close. It's going to be like 4.
Mm,
something like that. If Storm win, though, they could win big, easily. If they Canberra'd them, they could win big. But I think if they lose, they'll lose small. But, I'm sitting here as someone who's experienced the warm glow of fucking smashing Melbourne to fucking zero in a grand final. So, look, it can be done. It can be done with a young team full of beans. Coached to I don't get that feeling that Penrith have been like coached to the fucking second like Manly were back then. Storm feel like they've been building more to a grand final and Penrith have just been... You know, there's that burden of like the wins and things like that. You know, that's it gets heavier and heavier as they go, and it's fucking tough. But you know what? I love having a grand final where you can have these sorts of discussions.
Yeah,
where you can think of like all these reasons why each team's going to win.
It pretty much comes down. Yeah, Melbourne are the juggernaut. You know, they've been successful.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, successful for a very long time. Have adapted relatively well to new rules. Absolute shit cunt tactics got them there. And,
absolutely.
And really, will be an asterisk on everything Melbourne ever does because it's the age-old question that because they were such a rampant cancerous cheat of an organization, that everything they've achieved since is technically null and void. Because if they hadn't had the opportunity to cheat in such the egregious way they did, then you wouldn't have had the development of players like Smith. You wouldn't have had him, Kronk, and Slater together for so long under normal circumstances.
Believe me,
so,
I'm happy to fucking wipe everything Storm ever did off the record books.
And this is the thing. There's a lot of shit going around at the moment about how will Cameron Smith be remembered.
I can't.
And that's it.
Captain Cuntos.
And Storm fans, I get it. Like, he's your captain. And
you've got to like him.
Exactly. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, the sort of person he was and what he did to the game, if you take into account the shit tactics trying to hurt people.
And you know what? I feel like, you know,
that's the one that gets me.
The one benefit of the doubt I'll give Cameron Smith is, I don't think any of that shit was his invention. I just think he was the best at carrying out the orders at which he was given. You know what I mean?
Which doesn't make it okay.
No, it doesn't make it okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, and that's the one thing I'll say.
He could have signed 10 contracts.
Yeah.
He could have signed a contract that said, I know I'm rorting the salary cap. Ha, 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 ha.
I'm going to take that cheddar.
But going out there, knowing that what you're doing is intended to maim the fucking people you're playing against.
Yeah.
You know, to hurt joints in their body.
Yeah. Well, what it is, it's like, I mean, it's designed like any submission. It's designed to hurt someone if they don't fucking
submit
to it. Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's called a fucking submission.
Yeah. So it's like the, you know, look, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and if you get up and try and play the ball, and
so if your elbow pops out, exactly. Well, you shouldn't have pushed on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And if you get up and try and play the ball, then you brought it on yourself.
That's it. So.
But yeah, look, but, I mean, like, you know, you want to know how Cameron Smith will be remembered? I mean, let's be fucking honest. He'll be remembered as the cunt that was arguing with the referee while fucking Alex McKinnon had a broken fucking neck and was a quadriplegic on the ground.
That's it.
That's who he will be remembered as. And I mean, I defy a Melbourne Storm fan to fucking honestly, like, justify and then after the ramifications of it was all known, then he's the, you know, ducked his head into it, you know, all that, you know, ducked into it and all that shit. Like, he had many opportunities,
correct,
to do the right thing.
Yeah,
in that one incident,
yeah,
you take everything else that happened off the table.
Yep,
just that one incident alone.
Yeah.
Says fucking volumes.
Yes. So, but the positive thing is, this is the beginning of something very special for Penrith.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if they're going to win this, but I think that there's certainly the window's still going to be there next year and the year after.
I think if you look at all of the previous grand finals, take the last couple of years, as far as underdogs go, I think they are best positioned to come back, because it seems to be a very tough thing. It's obviously a massive thing to get back there after
this appointment, yeah.
But look, just as they did it, it took them 90.
Yep.
To get 91.
Yep.
But yeah, still, Penrith, 1-12. Put your house on it.
And we have a truncated lineup of curtain raisers this year, given the fact that very few competitions are up and running due to COVID. But the Broncos NRLW side will take on the Roosters, which is one of the things that highlights the insufficiency of the short round robin competition they have. It's a replay of last week's match.
Uh-huh.
And so both teams didn't really, you know, submit their A lineups last week. There's a bit of ducks and drakes and, you know, fucking around with their lineups because the grand final was already locked in before they played. But you'd expect the Broncos to get away with the win again, because when it comes to footy, spines are important no matter what's between your legs. And Brigginshaw and Upton always seem to be a class above in the women's game. And
especially when the Broncos can do things like pull your hair and fucking cripple you and face no repercussions.
Well, they can pull your hair into a hip drop.
Yeah.
That's like some next level gangster shit.
That's it.
You know?
Fucking hell.
But tremendous success for the Broncos women's system since their inception. And frankly, the Broncos men could do worse than play like girls, given the way they finished this year.
Yes.
Okay, tipping. Two-horse race coming into the final round. In the box seat is JBB. He's on top with a score of 130. In second place, King Kong, out there alone in second on 129.
Oof.
Then we've got to go back 2 points to Mrs. Whistle, Warm S, Benny 89, East West Arabian Swamp, Echidnas and Jangles, and then a point back to Kane, Nightmare and Matt. So it's a two-horse race. JBB on top on 130. King Kong second, 129. If you guys want to roll the fucking dice on this shit, if JBB wants to pick his team and tell me,
ooh,
and if King Kong wants to know what the opposite team is, so it's like an all or nothing, you know what I mean? Like, it's all or nothing for the grand final. If you want to go opposite teams. I mean, obviously JBB's like, fuck it, I'll pick the same team as that motherfucker. Doesn't matter what happens because I can't lose.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, what's to say he doesn't switch his thing?
You know, This is a flip of a coin grand final from a tipping point of view.
Yep.
Fuck.
So it's interesting. One game to go. We can get a tie. And also, you know how you got that sort of that differential thing, like on the first game of the round, you put your tips in and it's like, how much is the team going to win by? And you got to pick a number of what the scoreline, what the margin will be. That then goes into the amount that you're out on that margin that you pick each week becomes a tally that keeps going up. And so JBB's differential is 309. King Kong's is 320. So if King Kong was to successfully tip the game and get close to the margin, he only has to overhaul 11 points difference.
Ooh.
So he can do it, but don't know. Who's the mind games? Who's JBB going to tip? The mailbag, Matt Hammers. Said, ABC Grandstand is by far the superior commentary team, especially when Andrew Moore, Matthew Elliott, and Luke Lewis are teamed together. They make rugby league enjoyable to listen to and don't hate the game like most of the old cunts on Nine and Fox. When you're lumping people in with Nine and Fox, I'd also lump in Triple M, the fucking garbage that they crap on with you know, that fucking Tosser Ganane and that maroon dickhead, and you know, I think he has, like, you know, guys like Wendell and, you know, offsiders, you know, fucking, it's all so bad.
Jesus, you'd hate the Father's Day episode on that one.
Yeah, and like, I gotta say, like, yeah, even Vossi's fucking grinding on me sometimes this year. When I've, you know, not as much as Ganane. Ganane's almost my worst now. I mean, it's not just because he blocked me on Twitter, cunt. you know what? I don't even think he blocked me on Twitter. Like, I remember one day I was driving home from a fucking meeting or something, and for some reason I had Triple M on, and they had November Rain on, and they fucking cut it at the end bit before the slash on the piano bit. And I'm like, and so I tweeted Triple M and said, you know, fucking how dare you cunts fucking cutting off the fucking that bit of song, blah blah. Next thing you know, Triple M NRL, Triple M Dan Ganane, like fucking every Triple M network, I'm blocked. Like, you know, worth it, cunts, fuck off. So look, I agree, ABC Grandstand is a superior, I'll listen to ABC Grandstand over everything when there's commentary involved. And like, you know, if I happen to be away, you know, if I'm driving or something, absolutely Grandstand is what I would have on in the car to listen to a game rather than any of the alternatives. Michael says, is anyone else disappointed by the lack of gronking from Super Grover this year? I'm just going to put it down to COVID and the fact he's been locked up for months and months and months.
Yeah, that's it.
Also, Origin didn't take place in the traditional mid-year period, so a lot of people kind of have their limit of Super Grover gronking because of Origin.
Yes.
And so with that not happening and, you know, being moved to after the season,
yeah, plus, know, there's that. You know, a lot of his gronk energy has been taken trying to fight the behemoth that is hashtag Yeary of Cleary, which is another reason.
Has he really been fighting it, though?
He has. Really? He's been actively trying to...
I mean, I get him doing it this week. It. This week it's head-to-head, so I get it.
No, but, he has been.
Yeah.
And so when you take a hashtag that's so powerful that it wins Coach of the Year and takes the team that was fighting for the spoon last year to the grand final, and also nullifies a Gronk of the Year. Like, only once before has a Gronk of the Year ever fallen, well, not even from relevance, but into dead set fucking obscurity. But this time it was done by a hashtag to an actual decent human being. So.
Ian said, historically, Ivan Cleary's teams have been dull, metronomic, and lifeless.
No better example than last year's Panthers that only just managed to score 16 points per game, only slightly more potent than the Bulldogs' anemic attack. Enter Trent Barrett and the Panthers returning largely the same player group and knocking out 26 points and steamrolling all comers. Nathan looks far more complete and polished attacking player, something he couldn't achieve under the guidance of his own father. Blah, blah, blah. So he's trying to say that Trent Barrett deserves the credit for the Clearys, for both Clearys. I mean, he's used the plural there.
Nathan's been very forthcoming in saying how great Barrett was.
Yeah.
So it's not a secret.
At the same time, the Panthers aren't largely the same attacking group. Think of all of the young guys that they're fucking, who've either blossomed or, you know, into first graders or actually made their debut and look like fucking kings.
Yes.
This season.
Yes.
It's not exactly the same, you know, the same sort of thing. Trent Barrett, I mean, this is one example. The alternative is that, who fucking won the Wooden Spoon in 2018?
Dogs.
Was it Dogs?
Dogs or Titans? Dogs.
Whoever it was like Manly had to be like, fuck, let's hope the Dogs don't do this, you know, whatever the thing is, you know, because like it was close to getting a spoon with Trent Barrett at the helm. Then not with
18 is Parramatta.
Parramatta. Then with largely the same, like, and not largely the same fucking roster, the exactly the fucking same roster. They were one game from a grand final qualifier. That's more of a fucking reflection, I think, on the difference. Because the thing here is Barrett. You got to remember, he's just a fucking guy in the booth. He's an assistant. Yeah. He doesn't have any responsibility to do like of anything. He's got a job and he does, and nothing negative can come. I mean, that's all on fucking Ivan's shoulders.
And these days as well, it's becoming much more like other professional sports, especially in America, where you have a head coach who then also compile a coaching staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have people that look after forwards and backs and offensive plays and defensive structures.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, there's consultants that you bring in.
Yeah.
Like every team, I think, has some member of the fucking Johns family that does something for the club at some point
in history. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, Penrith
unfortunately got the cunt from Silverchair.
so what I say about Trent is, let's fucking see. Let's have this discussion again at the end of next year.
Well, you know, again, because you've also got at Penrith a squad of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who have that rarest of fucking rare qualities in not being self-absorbed millennial cunts.
Mm.
You know, you look at Brent Naden.
Yep.
Naden was dropped a couple of times. You know, he's gone out of the side this year. He's come back into it.
Yep.
And he is the poster boy for whatever's best for the team. Yep. Just happy to be here.
Yeah.
You know, holy fuck, I'm playing first grade footy. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Whereas you translate that to the Bulldogs and you've got everything from, you know, young kids that really don't have anyone showing them the way to go.
Yep.
To guys who have had their representative career and don't really understand where they fit in the game anymore.
Yep.
Who aren't all going to be as receptive to being taught new things or a new way of doing things.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, I'd love to see the Bulldogs fail.
That's the other thing you've just reminded me as well when you're talking about the young guys and everything.
Mm.
I mean, Barrett had his year in charge of the 20s.
Yep.
And they made they went like grand final, missed finals, grand final, grand final. Guess what year was Trent's?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Like, his head coaching career has been singularly unspectacular.
Almost like Anthony Seibold when you look at it. You just read all that shit in the paper when he was failing the Broncos. Like, they actually did a deep dive on how good he was as a coach, and he had one good year with South.
Yeah, that's right. It was a fucking good year. I mean, let's not, you know, let's be real, but
it was. But also, his coaching masterstroke was, don't play Robbie Farah at hooker. You know, by that note, I'm a fucking NRL super coach.
So, Matthew says, all the Dally M drama aside, it fills my heart with joy knowing that at some point in the season, a judge has likely taken points from Gutherson just for being a whiny little bitch. Ryan asks, does hashtag fuck the Broncos still apply to the women's team, or do they deserve a free pass?
No. Fuck them as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew.
Simon, who do you think's going to cry the most after the grand final? Dad and sperm? The prayer circle? or the Smiths and Yvonne?
Say that again.
Who is going to cry the most after the grand final? Dad and Sperm. So I think that means Ivan and Nathan.
Oh, okay.
The prayer circle, of which the Panthers are a very prayer circle-y side. Or the Smiths and Yvonne. After their carry-on at Dally M night, I think it'll be the Dad and Sperm. Hashtag Teary Cleary.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Dally M's. Again, I don't know what you're
referring
to.
Are we at the stage now where we need to fucking make fun and belittle a man and his son showing emotion?
They did. Like, I'm almost certain that they kiss with, like, open mouth on the lips to this day.
Is that another one of Sam Warden's jokes you're stealing?
I was kind of referring to Tom Brady, but
yeah, he put in the Facebook group. They kiss. I bet they kiss like the Bradys.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We are a fucking singular mind sometimes. It's fucking scary. Except I don't get banned from social media as much. I mean, I did get banned from Facebook that time, like about a day after he got banned from Facebook. But you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't get banned from Twitter that much.
Nady, yeah, m'lady.
Russ.
That didn't really translate. I was trying to call you Millie Vanilli, but you know.
What's that got to do with anything? I mean, yeah, admittedly, I have had a career in music, and I did make spectacular music, as Milli Vanilli did. But
just stealing the material of an actually talented sound artist.
Milli Vanilli didn't steal anything.
Stole the fame. And the bitches.
Well, yeah, all that. But I mean, they were fucking gorgeous with their fucking ass-length dreadlocks and shit.
As you have now.
I was going to say, I won't hear a fucking bad word about Milli Vanilli. That was the shit. Who cares if the two fucking sexy cunts didn't actually sing it? The songs existed and were real songs.
They were the Trent Barrett of the music industry. Just sexy good blokes with no substance.
It's true. It's true. But like Penrith, the results are still on the fucking board. Russ, will stepdad have the dress up as hashtag Yuri of Cleary or hashtag Muppet Babies on his Mad Monday? Well, I mean, because of COVID, we don't have a fucking public holiday
to have
a Mad Monday this year. And let me tell you, it's going to fucking temper the celebrations on the grand final day somewhat.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, not tonight. You're dressed up as a relatively normal fucking human being tonight. But there have been, what, let's say ballpark 6 times this year where you have fucking turned up to my house in that fucking knee-length cardigan that cunt wore.
Do, 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 do.
Ah, James, finally. Has anyone stood out for Gronk of the Year? It feels like there has been a drop-off and more of us are vying for the MVP. And then he sent us a preliminary shortlist for the inaugural Madeline McCann medal. I'm not going to go into that right now because what we will start doing in the Facebook group initially anyway, as we did last year, we'll start broaching the shortlisting for things as we wind down. So that'll start happening. Oh, fuck, I guess, you know, any day now, could be tomorrow. I'll get the crack out the list of categories so I can remember that shit again. And, you know, you guys will have a say onto, you know, the shortlists.
Yep.
From which the final Twilly voting ballots will be constructed.
I feel that this year it's just more popular to light candles instead of curse the darkness. When we lost the game for that couple of weeks,
yeah,
I think it brought everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it meant that there's been less overall gronkiness.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have some contenders in my mind.
Step up, cunts.
I have some contenders in my mind. Look, we're not going to have trouble finding a fucking winner. Believe me.
No.
But, yeah. And, you know, you want that, like, that clever gronkiness that actually makes you laugh rather than just being fucking annoying.
Yes.
That's the balance that needs to be struck. And a lot of people can't quite get that balance correct. But, yeah, shortlist coming soon, probably staying. Let's say, you know, if I remember, we'll start on Monday after the grand final. As good a time as any.
Yeah.
And on that note, it's full time for 373. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us on Twitter, so follow at TWI League, our Facebook community, hashtag Twill Nation. Get in there. It's facebook.com/groups/Twill Nation. We also got our Facebook page on facebook.com/This Week in League. Get in there, hit the like button, share our shit around. Thank you. Do us a solid. And if you'd like to support the show, the easiest thing to do is just fucking tell a friend. You know, recruit people into listening. That's the first way. But drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts to help the country don't know. And if you want to go the extra mile, digital membership still available. Can be picked up anytime for $3.99 a month. And
for free 99.
Yeah. And there's like, what, 30, 31, 32, 32 episodes in the can already there that you'll have access to.
Also gives you access to the members' episodes basically every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Ask Us Anything.
Yes.
So they've been footy related. They've been not footy related. They've been personal stories that we've told.
Yep.
They've been some fantastic fucking stories that the listenership have told.
And can I tell
you? The last couple have essentially turned into a true crime.
And I can podcast. Can I tell you, this week's members episode is the, I'm trying to think of the adjective, the popoist episode with not one but two popo.
Ooh.
Sending large stories and things.
Dueling popos.
Yeah. It's actually like and given that I know where both of these guys are fucking stationed,
yeah,
it's like Fibros versus Silver Popos.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, could I take a guess and say that Eds is making it?
His first appearance tonight.
Fuck yes. Yeah. Oh, I've missed Eds.
Glenn's aka Real Dad's doppelganger.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I mean, and not fucking joking. If anyone was at the, 2018 it would have been?
And again, he was fucking high on the list of cunts I was sad not to see this year. I was like sad not to see everybody.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah.
He had to work last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I missed him.
And yeah, it's the life of the popo.
It is.
But that's it. That's what we're gonna be recording straight after this. So yeah.
Hurry up, finish this shit. Can't wait.
Yeah. Alright. See you next week.
Later.
Oh, and hey, this is one last minute addition to the show. We forgot to talk about the meetup on Sunday. It's going to be low key thing, obviously, COVID, et cetera, fucking everything up for everybody. But we are going to be at the Newstead Brewing Co., which is on at 67 Castle Main Street, Milton, to watch the big game. We'll be watching it there. We'll be there from, let's say, 3. So if you want to come along and have a drink with us, say hi. And, you know, 2020 has absolutely screwed up our usual large meetup, but this is something that we can do. So, Newstead Brewing Co., 67 Castle Main Street, Milton, the Milton one, not the actual Newstead one. And we'll be there for about 3 on grand final day on the Sunday. So, hopefully, Queensland guys, see you there.